Executive Committee meeting for October 12th to order. First item of business, confirm the quorum.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Can I get a motion on the consent calendar?
So moved.
Through A and B. I have a motion and a second. Any objection to the motion? Good. Motion passes without objection. Randy, you wish to talk to us about 3A, legislative wrap-up from 2012. Very exciting.
Thank you, sir. So before we look back, I guess we'll take a minute to look forward. So each year in November and December, this committee considers and adopts a legislative program for to engage in an uncertain future. That legislative program that you adopted last year is attached to this memo, and it has a little bit of a scorecard that I think Commissioner Giacopini was one who originally asked that we do that, so it's there for you. You know, the commission works, I think, in a unique way in that, to a certain extent, you're in it for issues that matter to the commission, but you're also in it to create a consensus so that other entities can succeed as well. And while it's a bit early in the year to do a lot of reflection, I'm going to indulge in it a little bit. Commissioner Halstead was yesterday attending a groundbreaking and a full funding grant agreement for the 3rd Street line in San Francisco, an effort that this commission and San Francisco has been working on for 20 years. Earlier this year in March, San Jose celebrated a BART to Silicon Valley full funding grant agreement. And in 2006, Steve was appointed to the National Surface Transportation and Revenue Study Commission that was created when SAFE-T was passed. And so this year, MAP 21 was enacted by Senator Boxer. So a lot of the work that we do legislatively happens over a really long period of time. And this past year at the federal level, we've had a great deal of success, but work that was done years and years before. And so often the frustration in legislative activity is we ask you to engage so much, and sometimes the outcome is kind of enjoyed by a totally separate commission itself. Moving on to the state level, there was a lot of activity there, too. I reflect back when Commissioner Yeager came on the commission in 2007 and focused on an issue that has bedeviled the commission for years and years, and that was the representation of the commission that was set in its origin statutes in the 1970s. This year, AB 57 passed, which was really a significant matter. It was something that has been discussed for years. I've run at least three or four bills or defended the commission against those in the past, and it was so good to see an outcome that, again, started a long, long time ago. So in the state level, we had a good year there as well. There's a lot of things that don't reflect in our LEDGE program necessarily. There was a series of hearings. There was an audit. There was a lot of legislative activity in this past year that really kept many of you busy as well. Another item that I think the commission did a good thing to create an environment where we can succeed was high-speed rail. We didn't have to pass a bill on high-speed rail or get it voted on, but we had to get it out of the legislature, which was not easy. But we got the 21 votes in the Senate to do so, and that was an important success this past year. So I think on a lot of the big issues, both at the national level, where years and years of effort have manifested themselves in this year of some successes, we had that at the state level as well. We had some background noise. It was a tough year, but I think overall our scorecard looks pretty good. There's a couple specifics I'm going to turn over to Rebecca Long to get into, starting with the Regional Commute Benefit Program and some other bills as well.
All right. Is that it, Randy?
There you go.
Okay. Hopefully we can get the mics fixed at some point. Good morning, Commissioners. Rebecca Long, MTC staff. Thank you, Randy. I'm just going to go over a couple of the other items in our memo here as far as big picture changes, events in Sacramento. The Regional Commuter Benefit Program was enacted by the legislature. This was a bill that we've been working on for a couple of years. We originally sponsored a bill last year. It was vetoed. Then we supported the Air District sponsoring of this bill. It's SB 1339, and what it does is it authorizes MTC and the Air District to jointly adopt an ordinance. It's a pilot program, so we just have 4 years to do it. We have the authority beginning January of next year, and it would allow us to require employers with 50 or more full-time employees to offer one of a menu of options as far as transportation benefits to their employees. And the no doubt the most popular option among the three is going to be offering pre-tax deductions of transit benefits or vanpool benefits. That saves the employer money in payroll taxes, and it also saves the employee money in income taxes. So we expect that's going to be by far the most popular option. We're talking now with the Air District about who's going to, you know, have different responsibilities in this program, and of course the timing of bringing this forward to the commission to adopt. And again, both boards have to formally adopt the ordinance. So stay tuned on that. Other important legislation that was signed, AB 1532, is the Speaker's bill that guides cap and trade revenue. The big source of revenue that's going to have an impact on us is not going to be available for some time. That's when transportation fuels become part of the program. That's in 2015. But the first auction is scheduled to take place next month, and AB 1532 provides some structure about how those revenues are going to be spent. Essentially, the bill gives the Department of Finance the say over developing an expenditure plan. The Department of Finance is required to consult with the Air Resources Board, who has to hold some hearings, but essentially DOF will submit an expenditure plan to the legislature, and then the legislature's expenditure of those funds in the budget has to be consistent with that plan. So we'll certainly be trying to weigh in on that plan as best we can over the next year. Lastly, the governor did veto all of the bills that were related to finding replacement revenue sources for redevelopment. We had supported two of them, one SB 214 by Senator Wolk and SB 1156 by Senator Steinberg. I would note that the governor's veto of these was not too discouraging in that he recognized, you know, the importance of finding a replacement revenue source, but his concern was that it was premature given that the winding down of redevelopment agencies isn't really complete yet, and he wanted to make sure that all of the savings anticipated from that for the general fund are retained. With that, I'll just note there is an attachment that, as Randy said, walks you through our LEDGE program, what we had set out to do, and kind of compares where we are. We've already covered a number of these items. On the state budget, we have had a success in preserving state transit assistance funding. In my 10 years at MTC, many of the years have been spent fighting diversions of STA funding, and this year it was a non-issue in the budget. So $420 million for STA is pretty good. While it is protected now in the Constitution, there are some loopholes, so we're glad that those loopholes were not taken advantage of. On the other hand, there was a $1.3 billion diversion in transportation funding to the general fund. Some of that is a loan of vehicle weight fees and other state highway count funding, but the main source of that revenue is weight fees that are now explicitly authorized to be spent on debt service for the Prop 1B bonds that were intended to be GO bonds but are now revenue bonds. Let's see. We had hoped to seek and support efforts to provide a new funding source for transportation, some type of user fee. That really didn't get proposed last year. Of course, our gas tax poll didn't lead us to want to introduce anything last year. So there's some quite a bit of talk right now by statewide groups such as Transportation California thinking about new revenue options. We do expect a bill to be introduced in December on that, looking at a vehicle license fee perhaps for transportation, since there's still a big reduction in that tax as a result of Governor Schwarzenegger reducing that significantly. So there's some interest in capturing that for transportation. And then, of course, the big opportunity is going to be on cap and trade, because we did not secure the fuel-related revenue from cap and trade yet for transportation. Let's see, CEQA. There was quite a bit of focus on that at the end of the session, a lot of editorials. The governor actually referred to CEQA reform as the God's work. So there certainly seems to be a lot of interest, including on the Democratic leadership side. Senator Steinberg seems very interested in CEQA, and I would note that he has appointed Senator Rubio to chair the Committee on Environmental Quality. Yep. Senator Rubio has also indicated strong interest in CEQA reform. So it seems like all arrows point towards something big happening on that next year, and we're certainly plugging into those efforts with Senator Steinberg's staff. To make sure that, you know, TOD projects, transportation projects that are consistent with the sustainable community strategy get to enjoy some relief there. With that, I think I will just close, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, colleagues. Are there any questions on the state legislative report?
Just a quick one.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Commissioner Mullins.
Rebecca, on the Yee Bill 1339, on the commuter benefit program that the two regional agencies could adopt at some point. Was there any language on existing TDM programs, city-by-city programs, and how those would be treated when we get into the language? Would a future regional ordinance supersede local programs? I know that was a concern in my community of South San Francisco when the county was looking at a countywide sort of a model commute benefit ordinance. Can you speak to that?
Yes, Commissioner. There was some language added specific to that. There's a couple of things I would note. One is that if a employer is already subject to an ordinance, perhaps something in South San Francisco, I know a lot of their initial permits were conditioned on providing some type of, you know, TDM, either parking charging or other things. So if you are already subject to that type of thing, then you just need to demonstrate that, and you'll be exempt from the ordinance as long as it meets certain, you know, basic thresholds of benefit. Essentially, if it provides the same benefit as providing pre-tax, you're fine. There's also an option that some employers, when we visited with the Silicon Valley Leadership Group and others in attempting to secure their support for the measure, which they stayed neutral, they made the case for an employer sort of volunteered approach instead of saying, well, you know, what if we don't like any of these options? And so an employer can basically recommend an alternative. Maybe they want to offer telecommuting 2 days a week or some other alternatives that's going to have, again, sort of the minimum benefit of one of the other three options. And so, you know, we'll develop hopefully a very streamlined approach to that too.
Okay, anybody else?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Commissioner LaCaro.
Thank you. Also on the regional commuter benefit, does staff have a sense about when they're likely to bring something to the full board to implement this?
After the adoption of Plan Bay Area.
Right. Understood.
It'll take a while because this is also a two-agency effort. And just like Plan Bay Area, two-agency efforts don't always go too smoothly.
2014?
What's, Rebecca, it's a pilot?
Right. It's a pilot program, but it does matter when we begin it. It starts effective. Our authority to do it starts January 2013. It goes away 2017. So
right.
At the most, it would be 4 years.
Right.
If the commission has some guidance on that in terms of pace, as well as I'm sure the Air District Board, we'd certainly be all ears.
Okay.
My bias is to see it happen sooner rather than later, but thank you.
Anybody else? All right. Seeing none. You know, Randy, earlier you had referred to a attachment in our agenda as a report card. I think, for me anyways, and I don't know if anybody else wants to do it or does not want to do it, I think it would be good to list our legislators that vote on bills that are important to us and do a report card on that, because it may show us that there's maybe certain legislators that we may need to work with a little bit more. And I realize that may be a bit of a hot potato. So if anybody doesn't want to see that, speak now or forever hold your peace. Kevin always votes with it. He's cool. Kevin will be cool. Don't worry, though.
Yeah, I love Kevin.
I forgot I was sitting next to a future one. But I think that would be important in you know, to look at that on a yearly basis.
I'm sure I can figure out a way so that everyone gets 100%.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Check if they voted yes or no. All right. Anybody else? All right, we'll move to the federal legislation, which is Mr. Bolger's report.
Yeah, two things in there I just want to bring up. You know, the commission's having its biannual award ceremony October next month, but the commission received an award from the Environmental Protection Agency at their 12th annual Clean Air Excellence Awards for your climate initiative program. Tom Bolger accepted that award on your behalf, but I think it's a pretty good recognition of the work that the commission's doing, trying to meet the new challenges that are bedeviling and facing us. Lastly, I participated with the Bay Area Council. They go back to Washington, D.C. each year. I think it's a really good visit. It shows our partnership with the business community. And just to report back on you on that, there was just a unanimity of support for the commission's work on high-speed rail. There was a great deal of talk about how important it was to them as members, that the Bay Area came to a consensus, that we got something nationally important to them, and how hard they, as members, worked for it. And when we ask members to work for something, as you know, it's great when we can deliver. And I think that they recognized each of you and your role in that. So thank you.
Anybody on that? Okay. With that, we will move to other business, public comment, or if I don't have any of those. And by the way, the report card should apply also to our congressional delegation and Senate delegation. The Senate should be the easiest part. With that, seeing none, we're adjourned.